Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Hey, pet pals. Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, I want you to picture these scenarios. Home alone pets needing to be pulled from a house fire. A horse trailer overturns on the highway. A scared but overly protective dog prevents first responders from giving medical aid to that dog's person. What's the game plan for these scenarios? Who's going to step in and safely help? Well, our special guest is leading a very powerful effort that dispatches trained veterinary crews who team up with first responders to these scenes and more. He is the executive director of what is called First Responders Veterinary Network. Please welcome to our show a new and much needed type of pet hero, Dr. Lee Mack. Welcome to our show, Dr. Mack.
Hey, Arden. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we're going to find out, what does his group do to save the lives of pets and animals? You're going to find out. But you all know the drill. You got to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. My special guest today is Dr. Lee Mack. He heads up a group called First Responders Veterinary Network. Can I call you Lee?
You can.
You can call me Arden.
Okay.
That's a mouthful, Lee. Please explain, what is this group all about?
So, yeah, I'll go back a little bit in my history. So I was on the South Carolina State Guard as civil affairs for 2 years, and we did disaster relief at the state level. So it was all humanitarian response, planning, very upstream, you know, working with COADS and VOADS, volunteer organizations, community organizations. And so we planned at the state level for disasters, you know, earthquakes. And believe it or not, South Carolina does have earthquakes and the hurricanes. So did a lot of FEMA training with that. And also in Tennessee, moved to Iowa to take care of elderly parents, found myself volunteering for local fire department. And over the course of a year and a half, I noticed there was some gaps in not intent, but in just capacity and bandwidth, right? So you have this volunteer that now has to go through Firefighter One, which is 180, 200 hours, something like that. And then hazmat training is now part of that. That's a hard course for a lot of folks. And then they kind of want you to be EMT at least. So that's a whole thing. So then, you know, to really pile on anything relating to any kind of domesticated animals, is just too much bandwidth to expect out of, you know, even a career firefighter is going to be, you know, taxed to do all that. So you kind of relying on like, well, we got a firefighter here that's got cattle. He's a farmer, rancher. He knows his way around cattle. So if we get, you know, hopefully he's on that call, right? Or you got
the person.
Yeah, you got a person, well, I used to be a vet tech before I became an EMT or something, and you might get lucky there. But years ago, they used to have a BART and CART kind of at a county level, and sometimes at a state level, like 15 years ago, where they'd have an animal response team, right?
Was this just in Iowa?
It was in Iowa, but there's other pockets of it throughout the nation.
Okay.
And it just kind of fell by the wayside. There was no, you know, continuation of that. And then we have about, you know, 14 or 15 groups that do disaster response, i.e. large events like, you know, the hurricanes come in day or two after the event, help with a lot of stuff. AVMA does that. The American Medical Association has about 400 physicians, veterinarians trained in that. And there was this gap of, you know, oh, there's an incident, you know, I'm getting paged, I can be there in 10 minutes. So there was really this gap of animals, you know, needing to be taken care of while, you know, other firefighters, you know, officers, EMTs, paramedics are taking care of the humans, doing extrication, potentially putting out a vehicle fire, that kind of stuff, or a structure fire. So it's kind of an afterthought. But I looked at this and I thought, you know, I looked at a lot of NFPA guidelines, which is for fire departments. I looked at a lot of FEMA stuff this past winter. And there's kind of a niche in a special medical responder. And a special medical responder can be adopted into these different organizations as not a firefighter, not an EMT, but, you know, this is your lane. You're a doctor of veterinary medicine. So you're the pinnacle of care, right? You're not going to have anybody that knows anything else beyond, you know, your doctor of veterinary medicine. So that's the best possible situation you could have on scene, right?
Now, would this include also veterinary techs too?
Yeah, that comes into play.
Could they accompany the vet?
Yeah, and a lot of vets are talking about it. We have one vet in Minnesota. She's just getting started with a department, and I won't even give any details because I don't want to throw anything off. But, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm going to take my vet tech with me. And, you know, just like they're responsible for the vet tech in the office, they're responsible for that person on scene, because the vet tech just doesn't have the licensing to practice medicine. So they have to be with a veterinary doctor. There's some states that have some nuances. I won't get into all the details on that.
So for our public, because that's why I don't want to dive too deep into this.
Yeah.
You're seeing a need and first responders are strapped.
Right.
And you're trying to reach out. This is a big mission. Do we put in the Mission Impossible theme song from Tom Cruise here, right here? But you are taking on a mountain of a mission.
Yeah, it started at a state concept. And I just thought, you know, there's too much interest outside of Iowa. And there's a lot more opportunity. I'll just make it nationwide and kind of see how it goes. But, you know, you look at it and the numbers we've backed into, if you look at all the MVCs, motor vehicle collisions, and you look at the amount of people traveling with their dogs and pets, you know, truck drivers, right? Commercial drivers,
good
RV
point.
People, and just people, you know, like me, I was hauling my Pyrenees, you know, across multiple states, and, you know, I'd travel with her. And if we got in an accident, what's going to happen to her? You know, she's going to hit the back of the seat. You know, you're not going to strap a Pyrenees in, or most dogs, you're just not going to strap them into a 3-point harness and have them sit there all day. So you have to look at what happens to this dog in this kind of incident. So they're going to take me to the hospital, right? And now you have, what do we do with the dog? And that's predominantly a lot of it. We backed in the numbers of 3 million a year.
3 million accidents that have a pet involved in the issue?
In some way. That's structure fires, that's livestock vehicles, that's horse trailers, that's, you know, you driving down the road to the vet and you get in an accident. You know, maybe it's a fender bender, but you still have a dog and vehicle.
This is really kind of chilling.
I thought it was 230, 240, and kind of looked at some other numbers, and we started getting more and more data and started looking at it. And like, well, there hasn't been any direct data connected. You kind of have to back in the number, like how many people take their dogs on long trips, how many commercial drivers have dogs in their vehicles, and how many MVCs do you have a year? And you can kind of extrapolate out that kind of number. in Iowa, we just had two horse trailer wrecks that were, you know, on the news in last week.
Let's get that emphasized, last week, not the year. Last week.
In the countryside of Iowa, not even in a built-up area. So the way it would work is you take a vet and you have them associated with the fire department. They create some SOPs. Maybe it's more of a separate relationship where, you know, they're just part of the CAD system. They are on the CAD system. The volunteer fire departments know about them, so they can be paged. Right now, people sit there and go through their phone and they go, who do I know? So you got a fire captain on scene going, who do I know? Who does dispatch know? Maybe we can call them, get a hold of them. But this would allow them to be part of that 911 network. If they're really more integrated in the department, they kind of train with them on, you know, extrication, like where do I fit into this scene? And, you know, they're part of the group and, you know, they train with them, work with them a little bit, but they just go on the calls with the animals involved. And basically they can roll up directly on scene, especially for our large animal vets that have the vet boxes, right? They have all the stuff in there for large animals. And they roll up, go up to the, we call it the incident commander, whoever the officer is in charge of scene, and say, hey, I'm the vet. Where do you need me? What's going on?
Okay.
And they're designed to stay in the green zone, cool zone, just like the EMTs and the paramedics and the tow truck drivers.
Wait a minute, for us poor novice, regular people, what's the green zone?
It's a cool zone. So if you have a structure fire, it's past, you know, obviously red's right by it or interior. Yellow is you're just positioned outside. Green zone is a safe zone.
Okay.
So they're operating in a safe zone. And just like I said, the EMTs and the paramedics, you know, your firefighter will bring them out. Then they'll start working on them. But, you know, on the other side of this, you know, it's one, if you think about it from their side as an incident commander, I got an expert on scene now. They've trained with some, you know, FEMA training for ICS. They know what's going on, you know, how the scene works. They know where to be. And then once they take the animal, I don't have to worry about it. You know, that's one thing I have to do, you know, less. Now I can focus on the people. I can focus on the scene and what's going on if I got hazmat going. So we see it as a really interesting thing. And we got a national article done on us with AAHA.
Oh, good.
The Animal Hospital Association. And I got 35 vets interested, 30 techs. It's probably even a little bit more than that. And we kind of had some meetings and we talked about, I said, you know, there's some pathways for some reimbursement and, you know, and they said, no, we want to do it free. So if it's personal, they don't want to charge. So we're not charging. So, you know, we're going out with $3,000 worth of stuff, somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000. Worth of gear.
For just the pets, the animals?
For the small animal. Yeah, that's okay. PPE, you know, personal protection equipment, and then the gear and the drugs and everything else to address most trauma cases, oxygen tank, you know. And the commercial side, they said, yeah, to get reimbursed for a commercial for like a livestock turnover, that'd be ethical. But most of our cases are going to be, you know, personal vehicles, your audience, your people that are traveling with a dog or a cat, or, you know, they got their horses in the trailer and they're going to, you know, a show or something like that. So the majority of people are going to be that category and not commercial.
Well, let me step in because this is pretty chilling, Lee, because you have people, I know a lot of good people that go to agility, dog agility, and they're going up and down I-95 on the East Coast to go to these shows. I just spent 3 days in an RV with our three dogs at a campsite. And, you know, we've got people that love their animals and they don't want to be lonely truck drivers. They need some companionship. So they've got somebody riding shotgun that has four legs. So this is such a major situation that hasn't really been properly organized and addressed. So everybody, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to dive in a little bit more into why we need First Responders Veterinary Network with our guest, Dr. Lee Mack. So sit, stay, don't honk that truck horn. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Stephen Whooper reminding you to always listen to Arden Moore on Obehave, the best show on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Obehave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Obehave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest is Dr. Lee Mack. Now, before he keeps going, he's going to make you wish that you would never compete against him in a Jeopardy tournament. That is because he's got alphabet soup after his name. You want to quickly tell people some of your credentials?
Well, I was going to say, I went back to medical school midlife. I was in corporate America before. I'll try to keep it specific to the topic. Trained at, went to Caribbean school, USAT Montserrat. So it was cost effective.
So you got a medical degree.
Yeah, I'm an MD. And then kind of got pushed and shamed into a PhD along the way. And
what's that in?
Nanotechnology for medicine. So I did part of my training at University of Oxford in England. And then I went back and did traumaplastics training.
You know what PhD stands for, don't you?
Piled higher and deeper.
Also, pretty happy dog.
So I came out of that, went back into corporate medicine, all this, I'll just put it that way, clinical research, mainly device, wound care, gosh, medical lasers, some nanotech, some diluents to extend the efficacy of Botox and some other stuff. You can Google it.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is making my brain hurt. What does Dr. Lee Mack do for fun?
Oh, what do I do for fun?
Well, come on, right now, you can't be all Mr. Books and medical.
Well, I spend time with my kids, you know, my daughters. I have a younger daughter, I have adult kids. And this week we went to Adventureland and, you know, just sit out and hang out. So I would say traveling with family is probably our biggest one. I do have some fly fishing stuff. I do have some archery and I do try to shoot long distance, but, you know, not, it doesn't happen often.
What do you like to do with Ella, your dog?
Ah, Ella. Ella is actually, we bought her for my mom. My mom passed away in April. We bought her last summer. It's an Anatolian Shepherd. So for people who don't know what an Anatolian is, this dog's personality is like a Malinois, but she's kind of dorky. See, she's high energy, but she's a goof.
Sounds like some people I used to date.
Yeah, she still has that shepherd kind of mentality in a lot of ways. But interesting dogs, they have double dew claws for your listeners, which is kind of unique. You know, most people think Pyrenees, but interesting dog.
How old is she?
She is probably 2.5, adopted. I've had 4 Pyrenees before that, 3 females, 2 males.
You really like the little dogs, don't you?
I do. Actually, I like pugs.
Oh, pugs.
Pugs are cool. You know, pugs can swim.
Wow. With their body density, I thought they would drop like a rock.
No, actually, I had a girlfriend years ago and they had a pug and we used to swim it in the in-ground pool at night. And it's low impact, so they don't have the weight to lose weight, so they don't have the joint impact. They were just doing like 2-3 whisks and then she got up to doing like 6 lengths. And she would just go right along and lost weight, got in shape. They don't overheat because if you do it at night, they're in the water. They just, it keeps them cool. So they don't have the overheating thing. You really can't deal with the nasal pharyngeal issues.
Oh, come on. Snort me, baby. Well, yeah, that's true. But you love animals. You want to help people. And you're in America's heartland, so you're back in Iowa. My wife's family is all from the Quad City, so I go to Iowa a lot. And how come you don't have a pro sport team there? What's the deal? You guys are big sports guys.
I don't know. I think it comes down to the money, you know? I mean, those things aren't cheap, but I don't follow sports too much. But I would deduce that it seems like you have to have states with north of 5 million at least. And I think I was sitting at 3.
Yeah. So getting back to this, you know, I'm a master instructor in pet first aid and CPR. I teach veterinary approved classes for different levels, including EMTs and paramedics. And it's always an interchange of ideas, because I think to be good, you need to be both a student and a teacher. You can't be a know-it-all. And I know a lot of the EMTs and paramedics that I trained to become instructors in pet first aid that just remark, like, we finally got an oxygen mask for pets and it's got to be in different sizes. We recognize that, oh my gosh, cats are like 5 weapons of mass destruction coming at you with flexible spines if they're scared. So they make for special challenges, but you know, there's many first responders that love animals. And it sounds like you're trying to fill in that gap. And that's a big mission.
Yeah, we've kind of talked about this and I'm not going to, we're not going to tell the vets what to do. You know, they're volunteers. But, my suggestion is if you find a department where, or departments around you for mutual aid, that they're interested in learning it, EMTs and paramedics or whoever's interested in learning it. I'm not an expert in CME for veterinary, but, I think they could have RACE probably approve CMEs for teaching those people some baseline first aid and rescue of the animals if they wanted to.
Because it's a total different deal doing first aid on the scene for an animal than it is if you're in the clinic where you got everything there and a staff.
Right, it is. And a lot of stuff we're taking, you've probably seen TC3, trauma combat casualty care for canines.
Yes.
That was developed by DOD, but that's only canines. You don't have all the other species involved and stuff. So it's kind of tough. But yeah, I think there's a niche for this. It's really interesting because one retired vet that is I've had conversations with, he said that he's seen dogs go from the backyard to in the house, living room, and now the bedroom.
Right. And now they're doing their taxes for their two-leggers. Yeah.
Right. As you have these different, you have these people spending some big money on animals, what warm bloods are, what, 50, 70K now? And yeah, we won't even get into seven-figure thoroughbreds. And then a lot of people are spending, what, mid-fours on dogs?
Well, I'll just tell you, Dr. Lee Mack, I just spent $6,000 to get my pet first aid dog, Kona, a terrier, who blew out her ACL, a brand new knee.
Yeah. And, the TPLOs and TTAs and all that stuff, not to get into all that. I got a buddy that teaches that worldwide, and they're not cheap surgeries. You're right. They're $6,000, $8,000, and we have pet insurance now for 10. So did we have that in the 80s? Absolutely not. People weren't spending that kind of money. So I think the shift has happened, and maybe COVID kind of pushed it more that way, where the dog is now more part of your family. But I think that's what's really kind of created, I guess, the desire for pet owners to have something like this.
Well, yeah, they've done studies too, Mayo Clinic and others, that show the very many benefits of having a pet, mentally, physically, reducing stress and all that other. It's not anecdotal anymore. They actually have good long-term big studies. So I just, I always used to joke that I want the younger generations to create a nationwide pet ambulance service. In some degree, this is a little bit of what you're trying to do, but you're trying to do it when uh-oh happens in a big way, and you've got to have a network. That's a lot of work, Dr. Lee.
It is. And if you run the numbers, what do we have? 3,100 counties. We're doing it by county.
In the country? Gee.
Yeah,
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, give or take. And so of that, maybe 2,500, 2,600 are populated,
Okay.
And so you're never going to get anybody out in, central Wyoming, probably,
Right.
But you may in Jackson, you may in Cheyenne. So we're looking at it initially on where people are willing, the areas that the vets are willing to go or they're at.
So you talked about Iowa. What's another area that's shown some interest?
We got one vet in that's dialed in, and he's in South Bend, Indiana. He's already working with state with the police dogs.
Okay.
We have another veterinarian who's already a firefighter in Westchester County in New York. So, that's kind of the first, I won't mention his name, but, that's the first one we're probably doing. Minnesota, we got a few. Texas is big, but it's also big because it takes, a lot to identify and that kind of thing. We think Florida is going to be big, but, ideally it's going to take years. In a couple of years, probably start to focus on starting to link up okay, where's the biggest incidents? Oh, it's on 95. Let's focus on pockets down 95. Let's focus on pockets across 80. Let's, I-10,
I'm never going to play you in a game of chess. I mean, seriously, dude, you're very, this is complicated. But you did touch on something earlier, and you said that the American Veterinary Medical Association has about 400 veterinarians trained for disaster.
Yes.
Is there some way you can team up with them?
We are in talks now.
Okay. Well, we just had the president on our show. Now the term expired and we're getting the next new president. So maybe you want me to nudge?
Yeah, yeah. There's a new person. The gentleman that was handling it has retired as of June 30th. The new person came on. Yeah. I'm kind of hanging back until she gets, but I have meetings with both of them.
Okay.
And they do disaster response. But you know what came out of that initial conversation was as we build our network. Okay, so imagine if you had five veterinarians across I-95 and, you know, wherever, right?
Broward County or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, let's say North Carolina, and they get hit by a hurricane. If we have five counties and I got five vets in each that are volunteering, I got 25 vets that are now part of the 911 CAD system. They have a jump bag with all the equipment to do small animal. And they're already trained in incident command. They've already been kind of on scenes. So they kind of, you know the players. They know how it works. Could we use that network for disaster response? Yes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a win that you got, you know, assets in place that you could just make part of that response for the state level EMS system and go, you know, we have this. So in the Joint Operation Command, that's an asset that they could pull in for whatever they were trying to do.
We do want to make sure people know how to follow what's going on. So what's the best way for them to learn more about the First Responders Veterinary Network?
So it's frvn.org.
Okay.
And they can go to the site. We do donations on Zephy. We got a few campaigns going, which is helpful. Very small presence on Facebook. So if you have Facebook and you can push this out and you got a bunch of followers, that would be great.
I have a few.
I bet you do. Yeah, so we're in volunteers. We need volunteers for, we have one lady that's really accomplished at national level for corporate and that kind of stuff, but we still need people to help with donations, need someone for marketing, social media, logistics. So you don't have to be a vet to volunteer. We can definitely use you in the back office, so to speak. And, you know, if they have a passion for that and everything's remote, they can do it from anywhere.
I like it. And we're definitely going to have to follow up with you in about a year to see what's going on, because you're taking on a very big but very needed project, and that's to save animals in all these different scenarios. We always ask our guests before we end, if you could have a trait a dog has or a cat, what would it be and why?
Oh, wow. A trait.
Something they do or think or act. What would it be?
I think just how excited they are when, you know, the family member gets home, right?
Okay.
Us as humans, we kind of go, okay, the spouse is home. Hey, how was your day? You know, but you know, wouldn't it be cool to have your spouse or you run to the door and go, hey, how are you doing? So that'd be kind of a fun, you know, a fun thing to have, I think.
So have unleashed joy.
Yes.
All right. Hey, everyone, we're speaking with Dr. Lee Mack. He is the Executive Director of First Responders Veterinary Network, frvn.org. Check it out. I also at this time want to do a salute to my producer, Mark Winter. He's the Executive Producer of Pet Life Radio. We have been on the air, this show, Obehave, you ready for it? Since 07, making us the longest running weekly pet podcast on the planet. We've got a lot of awards. Not a lot of cash awards, but a lot of awards you can dust. Check us out. When I'm not behind the mic, I like to also help save lives. And I am a master instructor and founder of Pet First Aid for You. I work with a lot of ER and critical care veterinarians and EMTs and paramedics. And we try to teach different levels of first aid for pet parents, for pet professionals. And I can't do it without my four-leggers, and that is, ready for it, pet safety cat Casey, the busiest safety cat in the world, also a therapy cat, and also an orange tabby with an attitude, plus two shelter alums, pet safety dogs Nova and Kona. So check us out at Pet First Aid for You. Until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Obehave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Obehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.